In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Reward them that wait for thee, O Lord, and let thy prophets be found faithful. Hear the prayer of thy servants and of thy people Israel. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Thou wilt take us away in the sin of the world.
without thee we are not able to please thee. Mercifully grant that thy Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our confessional reading this morning from Luther's Small Catechism, the Sixth Commandment, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, and each love and honor his spouse. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading assigned for this, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 through 21. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye, therefore, the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Our epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 1, reading from verse 4 through verse 9. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ, by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ our Lord. Here ends our epistle reading. St. Matthew chapter 22, reading verses 34 through verse 46. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Here ends our reading of the Gospel. Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
morning is the gospel reading from Matthew's gospel, chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. Excuse me. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verses 34 through 37, and then 41 and 42. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." Please be seated. Luther begins a sermon on this gospel reading by saying, "In this gospel reading, Christ answers the Pharisees' question, which is the greatest commandment in the law, and in turn puts a question to them. What should be thought about the Christ? Whose son is he?" We are reminded that we always ought to hear and always should hear this, namely, these two points must be preached in Christendom. First, the teaching about the law or the Ten Commandments. Second, about the grace of Christ. If either of the two teachings perish, it takes the other with it. On the other hand, if one remains and is used correctly, it brings the other with it. Jesus had just silenced the Pharisees who deny the resurrection of the dead. They had posed him a question, hoping to show that the concept of resurrection is irrational. Jesus silenced them by making it clear that God, the Creator of everything that exists, is not bound by human creatures' idea of what is rational, and he is not even bound by the concepts of time and space. All of these things are his own creation. Now, the Pharisees, seeing that the Sadducees have failed, come to Jesus with their question. And he answers that with a perfect summary of God's law based, quoted from God's word of the Old Testament. He does so not only to silence them, but to invite an examination of their own understanding of their keeping of the law, and in fact, God's very purpose of the law among fallen mankind. The whole system of the Pharisees, the whole legal system, and their theological system, if you will, was based on the concept of trying to avoid ever overstepping the bounds of the law of God so that they might consider themselves justified, righteous in the sight of God. Jesus challenges their understanding of what righteousness is, and even more so of what sin is. The Pharisees are troubled by the same problem that the entire human race is. They're troubled by the notion that I'm a sinner because I do bad things. Aha. If I quit doing bad things, I'll no longer be a sinner. Jesus challenged
is to recognize that that's not the case at all. I do bad things because I'm a sinner. It's not that I'm a sinner because I do bad things, it's the other way around. And that's the challenge that Jesus lays out to the Pharisees. And he goes on and asks them a question in return. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Well, they say, the son of David. And here, they are expressing the concept thought down through time based on a prophecy of David himself, Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus says, if David calls him Lord, how is he David's son? I've tried before in Bible classes and confused people. So I'm praying that I don't confuse you today. But let's think through this. First off, the reason it gets confusing primarily is our problem, not the scripture. The problem is we're dealing with three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and our English translation of those. And then we're dealing with tradition, which used the word Lord instead of the name that God had revealed to Moses at the burning bush. So in Psalm 110, when David, the prophet, says the Lord, that first Lord is all four in uppercase letters. It's not the word Lord at all in the Hebrew. It's the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. So on that Lord, think God. Okay? Then this is, again, David speaking. David says, the Lord God said to my Lord, that's Adonai in Hebrew, that my Lord is good English translation of what that is. So David is calling the, and this, by the way, also fully understood by Jesus' listeners and ourselves too, that second Lord is the Christ, the Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, Christ in English, the blessed, the God's anointed one that had been promised since Genesis 3. The Lord said to my Lord, God said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Huh? If he is David's son, why does David call him Lord? No great, powerful king would call any son of his Lord. That's the point Jesus is making to these guys. He's trying to get them to take a new understanding of what the Messiah is. Because you see, they were stuck with the concept of the Messiah as a great and powerful king descended from David, like David, going to conquer all his enemies, even like these Romans who have us under their heel. We can see that concept of the Messiah again in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, after feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish, had to go up the mountain and get away from them because they wanted to come and make him king. They thought he was going to be that great and powerful political ruler. But David lays out in that psalm, goes on to give a theological, a religious understanding of the Messiah, the anointed one. We'll make him slipped my mind. Got it written about six places in here, and it's in the text, so I'll read it from the text. Actually, I'm sorry, it's not in the text, it's in the psalm. I'll make you a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay? Melchizedek, a priest not of the Levitical order of the priesthood, which the Pharisees are used to, that comes along through Aaron and Moses several centuries after this Melchizedek, who is a priest. His name, by the way, means king of righteousness or righteous king. He is the king of Salem, which is thought to be Jerusalem, that Hebrew word peace at the end. I will make you a priest forever, according to the order, priestful order of Melchizedek. The writer to the Hebrews makes a great point of this. In Hebrews chapters 5 through 9, he refers to this, he quotes this, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," and points out, he quotes it four times in those chapters, points out that Jesus is the priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the priest forever, that he offers sacrifice not of the flesh and blood of bulls and goats, but he offers his own body and his own blood. And unlike the Levitical priesthood, he doesn't have to make a sacrifice every year. He is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He intercedes for his people as a priest. Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. He is the priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So, for us, the question is, what do you think of the Christ? Who is he? Your catechism lays out a threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. He is a prophet. In his earthly ministry, he presents the word of God to his people, as he did in our gospel reading this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." He continues to carry out that office of prophet by providing his word to us and providing to us those who present that word. We're in the process right now of going through the calling of a new pastor and teacher of our parish. He is a priest. He makes the sacrifice of his own body and blood on the cross. And if a priest intercedes for his people, he certainly does that. Who is he who condemns, says Paul? Christ, who died, and furthermore, is also who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is he who condemns? In Romans 8, Paul says, it is Christ who died, and furthermore, who is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The beginning of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes this: while the Father raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, what do you think of the Christ? May you and I, with all the church, think of Christ as the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One, the Christ, Jesus, my prophet, priest, and king. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Son and the Holy Ghost are one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Wait, thank you.
Take and eat. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death. True blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith and the life.
Body of blood, strengthen and keep. is the true body and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for yours.
Oh.
shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen.
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 Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Blood of Christ. Body of Christ.
This is the true blood.
Lord
and Savior Jesus Christ. Share.
Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith of our Lord.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
Thank you.